In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and his Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. What if Jesus' sinners did not receive? What if Jesus turned his back upon sinners and said, "Get out of my sight. You make me want to puke." What if Jesus had told his Father in heaven, "I'm not going to the cross. I'm not going to die for that scurrilous lot." What if Jesus came not to save, but to judge sinners, to judge those who broke his commandments, to cast into hell those who are sinful from the time of their conception? What if? But thanks be to God, Jesus is not like that. The appointed readings for this, the 14th Sunday after Pentecost, assure us that the triune God, the God who sent his Son into the world, is not a God who delights in judging sinners. Rather, the triune God rejoices in saving sinners. You remember the verse from Hebrews, which we use as a gradual during the church year, about Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame. You see, Jesus knew that the cross, with all of its agony, with all of its humiliation, with all the shame and the pain that went along with it, was the only way sinners could be saved. And that is why God the Son became man in the first place, to save us sinners. That's why he had to be conceived by the Holy Spirit and not by any man's seed, and why he had to be born of the Virgin Mary, so he could be spotless, the spotless lamb for sacrifice, so he could be without sin, so that he, the sinless one, there on the cross, could bear in his own holy person the sin of all the world. You've seen the paper towel commercials, how one's more absorbent than the other. There's Bounty, the quicker picker-upper, and another paper towel brand claims that it's the more absorbent one. Well, picture Christ as the one who absorbs into his own holy flesh the sin of all the world. All of that sin, it's in and on Jesus. There is not one drop of sin, one molecule of sin, one little crumb of sin left over. When Jesus dies on the cross, he dies for the sin of the whole world. Each and every one of your sins, those you committed in the past, those you've forgotten about, those you've committed today, those you will commit in the future. If Jesus is indeed the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, he has to bear it all away. In today's gospel reading, Jesus speaks of joy in heaven over one sinner who repents, of joy before the angels of God over one sinner who repents. To repent is to turn to Jesus, to look to him as your only Savior from sin and death and hell, as the only mediator between God and sinful human beings. And this repentance is not just a one-time thing. It's a daily thing. What does such baptizing with water indicate? That the old Adam in us should, by daily contrition and repentance, be drowned with all sin and evil desires, and that a new man in Christ should arise before God to live in righteousness and purity forever. Not any righteousness and purity we can manufacture, but the righteousness and purity imputed to us by God's grace in Jesus Christ. That's why God is not ashamed to call you a beloved son, a beloved daughter. That's why God doesn't see the irony of it in calling you his saints, his holy ones. Yeah, you who trust in Christ are saints. Doesn't mean that you are so holy, that God is so impressed with you that, yeah, Ed's a saint. He's a paragon of virtue, a paragon of holiness. I think Ed would be the first to tell you that, you know, he's a maggot sack, as Luther said. A maggot sack full of sin, but it's not just Ed, it's me, and it's you too. But listen to what Paul says in today's epistle. Though I was a blasphemer, I was a persecutor of the church, I was an insolent opponent of the gospel, this saying is trustworthy. It's deserving of full acceptance that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the foremost. Or as we sing during Lent, chief of sinners though I be, Jesus shed his blood for me. Jesus welcomes sinners. The self-righteous need not apply. Those who trust in their own goodness, their own upstanding works, need not apply. Look who's drawing near to Jesus at the beginning of today's gospel. It's the tax collectors, it's notorious sinners are drawing near to Jesus to hear what he has to say. And what he has to say to them is good news, which is what the word gospel means. Good news of a loving Heavenly Father. Good news of forgiveness and mercy and grace. Good news of life eternal. Good news that Jesus the Christ will sacrifice himself on the cross for the sins of all humankind. These notorious sinners and tax collectors were gladly drawing near to hear Jesus, but then the Pharisees and the scribes, the professional holy ones, stand at a distance, grumbling. This fellow receives sinners and eats with them. In Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, Jesus' enemies will not refer to him by name. They refer to him as this fellow. And those two words are weighted down with the scorn and the contempt they feel toward Jesus. If he were truly a man of God, if he were truly holy, he would know what kind of woman this is, weeping and washing his feet. If he were truly holy, if he were truly a man of God, he would not sit down at a table with tax collectors and sinners. If he were truly holy, if he were truly a man of God, he would not heal lepers. He would know to run away from lepers because touching a leper will make you unclean. If he were truly holy, if he were truly a man of God, he would not lay his hands on the dead and raise them up, because to touch a corpse, according to the Mosaic law, was to make yourself unclean. But that's the way it works. There's a great exchange that occurs, as Luther said. We bring our sins to Jesus. He takes them. He bears them away in his own body. And in exchange for those sins, he gives us the righteousness that comes from God as pure gift. He takes the punishment that you and I deserve on account of our sins, so that we could receive God's blessings through faith in Christ. And Jesus isn't content to stand at a distance and say, "Well, sinners, you can find me at such and such a place at such and such a time, but don't waste too much of my time." Jesus goes out in search of sinners. And thus Jesus, in the parable of the man who had 100 sheep but lost one, is represented by the shepherd who goes out into the open, goes out after the one that is lost and searches until he finds it. And when he's found it, he lays it on his shoulders, just as he bore the cross on his shoulders. And he's rejoicing, he's happy, even though it's just a sheep. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and his neighbors. He says to them, "Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep that was lost." And Jesus makes the point, "Just so I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who think they don't need to repent." Every time you repent, and repentance is a daily thing. It's like you have a compass, the needle always pointing north. You pick up the compass, you turn it around, and boom, the needle swings back to north. That's the way our daily life in Christ is. We get turned around. But through contrition and repentance, through the work of the Holy Spirit, we are reoriented toward Jesus, our Savior. When you were baptized, the angels in heaven rejoiced. God the Father rejoiced that you were now His beloved child. Jesus rejoiced because here in your baptism, you became one of those who for whom Jesus died. That is putting it lousily, scratch that, splice the tape. You are already one of those for whom Jesus died. But you became one of those who partook of the benefits of his saving death on the cross. We come to the sacrament of the altar in contrition and repentance. We don't come boasting of our own holiness. We don't come thinking we're doing God a favor. We come in repentance and in faith, knowing that here we will be received as Jesus' body and blood are placed into our hands and into our mouths. And when you partake of the sacrament in the true understanding of what Jesus gives you, guess what? There's a party breaking out in heaven all over again. Don't be a scribe. Don't be a Pharisee. Don't walk in the way of self-righteousness, because that is the path to sure and certain condemnation. Rather, gladly number yourselves among the tax collectors and the sinners who drew near to Jesus to hear his words, his saving words, his words of life and salvation, the gospel that today has been preached to you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. And now the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus, your Savior.